This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our next guest, you'll watch him with our silky smooth sounds of Brad Nessler.
Brad.
Arguably the best college commentator in the world. The guy that could basically tell you what's going to happen every play if he wanted to. Gary Danielson joins us from the SEC on CBS. How you doing, Gary?
Good, Mike. How you doing? I'll tell you, I like my time off, but this you know, I'm kind of a hermit in the off season, but now my kind of like alter ego comes out. People want to know what I think all the time. I go, you know, in the off season, I go, honey, don't you care what I think? She goes, not really. But around here, everybody cares, and then they get upset afterwards, you know.
Gary, we talked to our guy Ness yesterday. Yeah. Nessler's a friend of the show, obviously lives here in Atlanta, and we're good friends with him. But we were talking to him about your ability to, as Mike said, assess plays. Take us behind the curtain. How much film do you watch leading into a week of a game with two opponents?
At least two games of each, you know, and then you have the background of being in the league. But you can't I don't think you can, but it's only my opinion. I don't think you can study your way into knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and you have to have that basis of instinct. You know, I played, I called plays. I understand the game. I understand the strategy. I know what coaches are thinking and quarterbacks are thinking. And a lot of it just makes sense. You know, right. It's not that I know what they're going to do. It's almost like this is what I would do in this situation. So you just like, you know, like what a jump pass happens once every 5 years. But I called the jump pass because I knew they had it. And it felt like if I had that play,
I'd use it.
This is where I'd use it, yeah. You know. So I go to I grab him, and I like says, "Listen, I know I've seen Kerryon throw. He can flip the ball.
Right.
If I'm calling, ever going to call the jump pass, and then it happens, you know. So it's not that you know it. It's just that you can feel it coming.
Right. Gary Danielson, you recognize the voice, guys, from the SEC on CBS with us here live at SEC Media Days. So we were just talking as you were getting your headphones on about Alabama's situation with Tagovailoa and Hurts.
Yeah.
We've got an interesting situation because Fields is you know, the best thing since sliced bread. Fromm did the job.
Sure.
As a quarterback, though, how does it work? Is it about a rhythm? Is it about the coach trying to find the way to get these guys the touches? How does that work out?
Well,
without screwing the pooch.
I don't know if it's explainable. Quarterback's a little bit different than any other position in all of sports. You're asked to conduct and play at the same time. And I had a really great player when I was first starting to play. Actually, was in the World Football League. Talked to me. I used to pick his brain because George Sauer Jr. was the guy. He played with Namath for the Jets, and he was on my first team. And he took me under his wing and he said, "You're going to be good. You got something." And I go, "Well, what do I got?" You know, and he says, "You have what's kind of unteachable." He says, "Quarterback's hard." And he says, "What Joe has and what Joe had instinctively and you got to be able to develop is a quarterback has to be able to handle being the guy. The guy that gets all the credit, the guy that gets all the blame, the guy that gets all the interviews, the guy that gets the girls, everything about the quarterback position is the, okay? And some guys can't handle that spotlight. They don't like it. I'll give you a perfect example. Great Greg, great player, hardest worker I ever saw. Joey Harrington went to the Detroit Lions out of Oregon. Just wasn't comfortable being the guy. And I went, oh, he says, well, what else? And he says, you also have to be a guy.
Right. In that locker room.
You have to be able to blend and understand what, you know, the trainer's going through and your offensive linemen are going through and have sympathy for the DB that got beat on a play or that the receivers are out there frustrated because they can't get the football and have a picnic, invite the guys over. And if you can't be a guy, you can never be the guy. It's a little bit broadcasting, too, by the way, you know, with my job. It's really high profile. I like it that way. But if you can't handle being the voice of the SEC and taking all the stuff that comes with it.
You hate us, Gary.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, then you can't. you can't be the guy because you. This is a great job, but this fan base demands perfection, mm-hmm. even though it's not possible from their quarterbacks, their recruiting, from their head coach, from their play caller, from their alumni association, their facilities. And their announcing team, they demand perfection. Even though it can't be possible to do, that's what they demand.
Right.
That's the fun of the job, though.
Gary Danielson joining us. And Gary, you're right, being in locker rooms. A guy.
Yeah, it's important, isn't it?
Because you don't ever want to feel like the quarterback's better than
that's
you.
That's right.
And if you feel like that, there's a disconnect in the locker room where everybody's like, I don't like that guy.
Well, you know, Carl, it was even a little bit more tough for me. I was a free agent quarterback for the Lions. Everybody, it's a funny line I've used it before. Everybody talks about the toughest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball, right? Well, I go, you know what's tougher? Being a free agent starting quarterback year in and year out on a losing team and keep your job.
Right.
Because that's the guy they, you know, everybody's going like, hey, we got everything except a quarterback, you
right.
know? Right. But I turned it into my favor. And this is what I think. You got to be how you got to manage the position. Before the game and all week, I'd be going, get it going, guys, because they got fouts and we don't, and you better play your asses off. Because we ain't getting fouts this week. And no Marino. They ain't trading me for Marino, so we got what we got, you know.
I might not be able to get 5 touchdowns.
Right.
Gary Daniels and guys.
And everybody would laugh, and then I'd say, hey, I'm the most valuable guy here because every time we lose, it's my fault. You guys know you love it, right?
I love it. Gary can sling it, man. He can spin it, as they say, in college and the NFL. Now, of course, with our buddy, his teammate, Brad Nessler. He's with us here live at SEC Media Days. We know that Saban is not everything you see behind that podium. When you and Brad get a chance to see him, other coaches, Ed Ogeron, Kirby, most of these guys all the same. They try to lock it in, or they let you behind the curtain with what's going on.
Not very often. They don't. They give you what they want to give you. You have to try to read between the lines. You know, they are totally playing poker with you. They're feeding you information they want out over the air. Sometimes they'll tell you stuff off the record. Mark Richt was a big off-the-record guy, and I would just say, Mark, I'm not that smart. I can't remember what's off the record and on the record. You know, just tell me what you want to tell me or don't tell me, you know. But they're a lot similar. The success of a coach has a lot on how they handle the dynamics of our interviews.
Right.
There's a few coaches that cannot stand me. I can tell when I walk right into the room. There's a few coaches that feel comfortable with me because of my expertise and how long I've doing it. Most of them are in the middle because I don't do them all the time. But they all, I think, respect that I do my homework. I show up for practice. I talk about X's and O's. I don't go talk about their jobs. Mm. You know, I stick to what I believe I know.
Right.
And if I vary from there, but, you know, they know I'm influential, and fans either take what I say and listen, or they argue with it, or it's a talking point. So they're always trying to play me, and I have to do my job. I represent the fans in CBS. I don't represent Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Gus Malzahn. And, you know, I've had some tense situations, but I always tell them, you know, I mean, I'm doing the job the best I can. What am I doing wrong? There's a few times they're right, and a few times I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah, you just never been the, get out of my face, Gus.
No, I don't do that.
Okay.
I respect them.
I
respect their how hard their job is.
No, Nestler's the third man in the ring.
Gary Danielson joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. The hires in the SEC West, which one made you go, okay?
There's no doubt, Jimbo.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a sleeping giant, and Texas A&M has gotten soft. It was embarrassing the way they were playing football. I mean, I love Kevin Sumlin. He's a Purdue guy. He played linebacker. But that trick him, finesse him, throw back shoulder fades, find a RPO that works is never going to work in this league. You're too soft on defense. They didn't tackle anybody. It was Texas A&M. I'm watching Texas A&M football play like that. It was –
It's why they didn't beat anybody in November.
Totally.
In November. They struggled.
They were soft. 5-0. They were soft. They really were. So was Tennessee, to be honest.
Right.
Okay? And I thought Kevin knew it, but he built his reputation and he got his job with his hurry-up, no-huddle. But, you know, that's a nice technique. It's not a program. I'm just telling you, it's not a program.
So, Gary, let me ask you this. As you talk about that, what's the difference in a guy like Dan Mullen going to Florida? Now, I know Mullen's proven himself in this league, but he's also a guy that's been, you know, he's a great play caller, right?
Well, he is with Tebow and Percy Harvin and all those guys, but he needs to get that type of talent around him again. There's not as much pressure coaching at Mississippi State and South Carolina as there is at Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. I mean, it's just not. You win your eight games, you get a raise. You know,
it's true.
So I'll tell you,
Gary Danielson, keep it real.
Right? One coach, I'm not going to say who it is. When we were talking, they were interviewing him, and somebody said something about CBS, and he goes, he said, I'd like to play, but I'd like to play these guys at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I go, Coach, they ain't paying you $5 million to play at 11 o'clock in the morning. They're paying you $5 million to play at 3:30 or 8 o'clock at night. I'm telling you that right now, you know. So, and it bristles them, but it's the damn truth, you know.
Oh, man. Gary Danielson's with us here, guys. SEC on CBS. He and Brad, you're getting a chance to win $1,000 with our national signing bonus contest coming up in just a bit.
The two storylines for Georgia and Alabama are – fascinating this year, though, aren't they? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's back as far as, you know, Florida and Alabama, and then a little bit LSU and Alabama when they were elite. You know, when you were watching the LSU-Alabama and you knew over the next 3 years they probably would have 60 guys going to the NFL.
Right.
Or you had Florida and Alabama in that one game Florida played Oklahoma and you're looking on the field and go, man, out of the 22 starters, 20 of them are going to play in the NFL someday, you know, between freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. So, I think when you now look at Georgia and Alabama, the talent they're acquiring, and, you know, Kirby's move in recruiting has forced Nick's hand. He rebuilt the staff. He went young again. He went out and got the hot shots, and he goes, you know, I'm going to go hit the trail. And Kirby, you know, game on, you know. So it's going to be fascinating. And then on top of that, you've got the quarterback dynamics from both sides, which you alluded to early, that makes it, you know, because really both teams now are going to win 9 games with anybody playing quarterback. Now, but the 3 games.
The big ones.
Who's going to play the 3 games is the interesting part.
It's a great point, Gary. And you know, to your conversation about Kirby, when he first got the job, this is going back a couple of years ago, he sat down with Mike and I right where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And he flat out said, we were like, Coach, what do you need to do to get better? And he was like, we're not big enough.
Yeah.
We're not tough enough. We're not physical enough.
And
we were like, wait a minute. Because all we've heard is that Georgia's putting guys in the NFL and look at all this.
Right.
And now you look at the kids that he's bringing in and you're going, okay, I see the difference.
Yes.
I see what he was talking about, that physicality that he wanted to bring.
Well, you know, the same formula that worked 35, 40 years ago is the same one now. The game's a little different. I get that. Discipline, attention to detail, stay in good shape, be a good teammate, do your assignment, have toughness when the game's moving against you. That one of the key success points for Alabama is they are clutch, man. They made plays when the game was on the line. They did it against LSU. They did it against Florida in the days. They did it against Texas A&M. Sometimes A&M did it against them.
Right.
You know, but they made clutch plays and championship game plays, and, you know, that's a program, okay? That's not, with all due respect, that's not the way A&M and Tennessee was playing. When they were looking over to the sideline, like, Coach, give us a trick blitz or an RPO to fake guy. We need a trick play to fake them. That's not how you put championships together. And I'll tell you, I give Kirby all the credit in the world, you know, and Kirby and I sometimes bristle at. He bristles more at me. I don't bristle at him. He bristles at me. He's a highly competitive person. I respect him for it. But when he chose Jim Chaney and Sam Pittman for his two guys to lead offense, the whole Georgian nation, the Bulldog nation went, what?
Yeah.
We're taking the guy that was at Tennessee and Arkansas to be our – where's the RPOs? Where's the Clemson? I'm tired of running I formation Mike Bobo football. But Kirby doubled down on toughness, and he was right.
He was. And that's the physicality that Georgia brings.
Yep.
Gary Danielson joining us, guys. Obviously, you know, Ness said it. The season for you guys, really, you have this, you know, retreat or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you guys, it's kind of on from that point on. Yeah. What did you do this summer? What enjoyment did you have?
What does Gary Danielson do to decompress?
I got a lot of time to decompress. I got a good job. You know, when you were doing that man caves thing, I was interested because I develop man caves down in Florida.
Okay.
To tell you the truth.
Nice.
I've got 76 of them down there.
Wow.
Yeah, that we've condominiumed them, and we're doing really well, and I enjoy doing it. But it's low key. I've got a good partner. He knows how to build. He's, you know, but I learn and I stay involved, and it's fun. But, you know, for me,
Wait a minute. Gary Danielson has a side hustle?
This is interesting.
Really?
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Who would have ever thought?
I got a place in Naples, Gary. We're going to talk here.
I got a big family.
Okay.
I got four children. Three of them live near me. I got 14 grandchildren.
Wow.
They're at my house every day, basically. It always isn't smooth. And after an hour or so, I'm like, all right, I need a seat around here somewhere, you know, to sit down. But when they're not there for 2 days, it's like, where's everybody, you know?
Right.
So, like I said, I'm really, really private. I'm not that outgoing, but I like doing what I do. You know, I'm good at it. I was good. I know I'm sounding cocky, and it's just the way I believe. I think you could blindfold me, take me to a football game, and I could do a B-plus job on a game. I understand football. I can see it. I feel it. It's like a chess game to me, and to tell you the truth, I try not to have zero bedside manner. Zero.
Right.
I don't want an airline pilot or a doctor or a surgeon with bedside manner. I want Sully that lands the damn plane.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I don't want an airline pilot giving jokes before I'm flying.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
And that's how I do with my analysts. I mean, like, stop. I listen to other guys. Stop with the jokes. Tell me what's happening on the damn field.
Gary, thank you so much.
All right, you got it, guys.
Gary,
I
appreciate you.
Keeping it real, 100%.
You can see how Ness and I get along, can't you?
I love it. I love it.
That's a great style right there. Style makes the fight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.